Let's take the word of God together while still standing. In honor of the word of God, we always read the word of God standing when we read together. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Or verses 1 and 2. Let's go. When the Lord your God. Okay. Why don't we do it like this? Let me read verse 1. And then you can read verse 2. Is that right? Okay. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Father, bless your word. As we have read, let it resonate in our spirit, man, and let your name be glorified. And those who expect and says, amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. We want to continue from where we left off. We're talking about the seven giants that God wants you and I to overcome in order to enjoy the blessings of God. These seven giants, they want to stop you from receiving the promise of God, from entering into the perfect will of God. I pray for you and I pray for me that God will give us victory over these demon spirits in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All around us, there are evil spirits. And you know what? We mustn't kid ourselves. The Bible says they are stronger than us. That's what I just read. It said they are stronger, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Without God, they are stronger than you. Without God, they are mightier. But with God, we have victory. In Christ Jesus, we triumph over every such spirit. Hallelujah. So we must be of the opinion and understand that without the help of God, we have no chance whatsoever against any demon spirit. Hallelujah. If we are not vigilant, the Bible says we must be vigilant. We must be sober and vigilant. Because the devil, your adversary, like a roaring lion, he goes about looking for somebody to devour. The spirit can derail, and they derail the children of God by deception. Brethren, until our heart is firmly rooted in Christ, we become susceptible to be coerced and manipulated by this giant spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to 27, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight on ahead, and your eyelids right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. That is, go only in the direction God is leading you. Remove your foot from evil. Touch your neighbor. I'm not saying your neighbor is evil, but just say, neighbor, remove your foot from evil. Hallelujah. And I pray that evil will not be found in our homes. Evil will not find its way into our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What is the most important trait that God is looking for in a person? From scripture, we see that the important trait, the most important that God is looking for in any of us, is the quality of our heart. the quality of our heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10, the heart is deceitful above all things. There is no greater deception than the heart of a person. And desperately wicked, the heart can be piercing you with a dagger, and your lips can be smiling. The heart of a person can be piercing you with a dagger, and their lips will be smiling. He says, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. That's something every one of us children of God must know. God looks at your heart before he looks at your action. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Look at the way the Message Bible puts it in Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. God have mercy. So God looks at your motives, at my motives, more than the words I speak, and more than my action, more than the word you speak, more than your action. God is looking at your motive or your motives. Only God and you, only God and every human being knows in their heart why they do what they do the way they do it and why they say what they say the way they said it. I've said it before. It's extremely easy to pretend to be spiritual and yet operate in carnality. Very easy. It's easy to say the right words. It's easy to lift up hands and close the eyes and cry, Lord, be glorified. But the mouth is speaking. The heart is somewhere else. How many of us have left this room since we came? Don't show your hand. You know, at some point in time, you already checked out. You've checked out, you've checked in. Check out and check in. Praise the Lord. Your body is here, but your heart is not there. Let your heart be here, because this is the treasure that your life needs. When you are in a place, be fully there. Or don't go at all. Hallelujah. My wife knows when my heart is not there, when she's talking to me. And many men are guilty of that too. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And she will ask, did you hear what I said? I'm like, Because while she was talking, especially when it has to do with money, my heart always travels. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know I'm the only one guilty of this, so it's okay. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they look like Kate. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It says, from such, turn away. Today we want to look at, quickly, last week we looked at the Evite spirit. Today, Hittite spirit, sorry. All the ites sounds alike. Today we are looking at the Amorite spirit. What is the Amorite spirit? The word Amorite means boastfully or boastful. Boasting out loud and boasting inwardly. The Amorite spirit is the spirit of arrogance, especially arrogance in boasting in their abilities. Boasting in their abilities. Boasting in what they can do, what they are capable of, what they have, and so on and so forth. They are overtaken with pride and the glory in these their abilities. When they introduce themselves, they introduce themselves to you to make you jealous. They are confident in their wealth. They are confident in their muscles, their strength, their beauty, their handsomeness. Many people have been deceived by all this. And this spirit can overtake any child of God. Especially when you do not see God at work in your life. When you think you are the one that got to where you are by yourself. When you think you are self-made. The Amorite spirit is the spirit that says, I don't need God. Look at me. I have all I need. And there are many nations in the world like that. There are so many godless nations in the world, especially even in the Western world. I don't want to mention any nation. The human imperfection shows more in the subtlety of words and actions. In self-glorification. You don't need to say it. You don't need to tell anybody. It's something you can enjoy by yourself. You know the man that stored so much money, every day is counting it. 1, 2, 3. He's glorifying himself in what he has. Some glorify themselves in what they have done, in what they do. You have to praise me for what I have done. Did you not see what I did for you? One thing you forget, or anybody forgets in such instances, if you did not do it, God will raise somebody else to do it. It's a privilege to be used by God to do anything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nobody can hold God ransom. It's impossible. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, for by grace have you been saved through faith and not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Brethren, any boasting outside the will of God is evil boasting. It is evil, period. Like I said again, you don't need to say it out. Psalm 94 verse 4 says, they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. This is the Amorite spirit. The Amorite spirit says, it is mine. I did it. I, me. I can do whatever I like with it. Without me. It's all about them and no one else. It is also the spirit that condemns each other in the body of Christ. It's the spirit that will call somebody else in church and destroy another person's character who is a member of the same church. It's a spirit that tears apart. It's a spirit that has no good thing to say about somebody else. It's a spirit of comparison. Comparison is evil. How can you compare yourself with somebody else? As I was meditating on this, I think it was a couple of nights ago, I said to my wife, I said, it's a foolish thing to envy rich people. Especially godless rich people. It's a foolish thing. Oh, you see their gated houses. Big gates, gold in this, Maserati, Bentley, Lamborghini, Ferrari, Testarossa, whatever. And you are like, man, if I can only get that, I want to, You know, until you get close to people, you don't really know them. When you get close, you are like, Thank you, Jesus, for where I am. What the pain they are going through, you don't have it. You see, most of the time, the people we envy are in debt. They spend other people's money. They will call themselves billionaires. But they don't have any billion. Braggadocious. You see them. Anybody can be on a yacht. You can rent one. You can rent a private jet. And you'll be amazed that sometimes it costs not much. But there's too many headaches going with it. Don't seek to be like anybody. David said he envied them, but until God brought him into the sanctuary and showed him, he saw that they were in slippery places, that these people are going to fail. Sorry about my Nigerian tonation. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I forget I'm a former Nigerian. Amen. God is going to judge such boastings. Boastings in self and every word of slander, every gossip, God is going to judge. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 26, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners, who dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the houses of Israel are uncircumcised, where? In their heart. Every one of us, we are culpable. Every one of us needs to go before God in repentance before it becomes too costly. Because at one time or the other, we all are falling short in this regard. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. If you have not stumbled by what you say, he says you are a perfect person. But he says we all in many things have stumbled. He says, are you able to bridle? If you are able to bridle your mouth, you bridle your whole body. When the Amorite spirit is allowed to take over, you begin to strive, argue with the word of God, analyze it. Why should I? Why should God say that? We fight things because we have no understanding of them. If you say you are a child of the kingdom, you should live like a kingdomite. The rules that bear in the kingdom are different from the rules that bear in the world. And may I ask, does anyone ever argue with God and win? You can't argue with God and win. God always wins. God will always win at last. Praise the Lord. If you look at the book of Isaiah 45 and 9 and Romans 9:20, I can't read it because of time. It says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Doom! Doom awaits the one that argues with God, that argues the word of God. Why should God do this? Why should God do that? I think God is calling me. Maybe you should excuse us with your phone. When you come into the sanctuary, please remember this is a distraction right now. Switch off your phones. If God wants to talk to you during the service, he will speak through me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's quickly, for the time we have, look at some biblical studies we can connect to the Amorite spirit. Numbers chapter 20, I'm going to read just from verse 10 to 12. This was when Moses and Aaron, his brother, became angry because of the murmurings of the children of Israel against them. It says, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together after the rock, before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Can you imagine me coming to you now and addressing you all like that? Hear now, you rebels. You just be getting up one by one. Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? What? Must we? Did they own the rock? Did they own the water? Did they own the ability? Watch this. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice. He was told to strike once. Or he was told to speak, rather. And water came out abundantly. And the congregation and the animals drank. Yeah, they drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me, I told you to speak. In your anger, you struck. And you spoke pride. You did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. They stopped their ministry at that very point. They took the glory of God upon themselves in anger. May God have mercy. In Jesus' name. Let's look at two more. King Nebuchadnezzar made boastings in Daniel chapter 4, verse 29 to 33. The Bible says, at the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, he looked at the whole of Babylon. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from man, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. No man must take any glory. Subtle, inwardly, openly, never. Because God owns everything. Hallelujah. Let's look at David, who is my key study in this last few weeks. The actions of King David in 1 Chronicles 21. For the moment, David took his eyes off God. Satan provoked him. The spirit of the Amorite took him over. Spirit of pride, arrogance. He said, count my people. And Joab, his servant, said, no, my Lord, you don't need to. They belong to you. They are yours. But the Bible says the word of the king prevailed. And Joab had to go and number, even though he didn't number everybody. But he brought David a number. David wanted to know the strength of his people and his army. It was a carnal spirit, boasting in what he had in his possession. This took over his heart. He must have thought at that time, most probably, that it was his army that helped him overtake his enemies and make his kingdom more prominent. But that's a lie. This man at that moment forgot, when he was a teeny-weeny teenager, that was able to take a lion. He ran after the lion. Who runs after a lion? You see a lion, you run. But God gave him grace and ability, power, that the lion saw him, even the lion ran, that this is a crazy anointed guy. He took the lion, took the lamb out of the mouth of the lion, killed the lion. He took the bear, he killed the bear. There was nobody with him, he was alone. It was the might of God, it was the power of God, it was the grace of God upon his life. He forgot that it was him alone when the armies of Israel were running from Goliath, it was him alone with a sling and a humble stone that God used to defeat the great giant that a whole nation's army could not challenge. He forgot. He forgot that it was God that shielded him from the javelin of Saul. When Saul threw the javelin to kill him, when Saul looked for him all over the countryside to kill him, it was God that shielded him. He forgot that it was God that sent ordinary people to come and meet him in the cave of Adullam. Even people from the house of his enemy came to assist him in the cave of Adullam. He had forgotten that it was God that sent him that help. Some of us here, you know what you did before you got your visa to come to America. How many fastings? How many night vigils? How many prayers you have prayed? If they told you at that time, give a sacrificial offering, you will not bat an eyelid. God favored you. You are able to come to the United States. You became a citizen. You are enjoying a better life than it is back wherever you came from. You have freedom to express yourself, but you have forgotten God. You have forgotten that when there was nobody there for you, it was God alone. The day I was sent out of school, my mother looked up. There was no school fees. It was God who sent my uncle to come at that right time and paid my school fees. It was God who did not allow me to die under my own car. Do you remember yours? Don't we, like David, have forgotten where God took us from? Now we think we own ourselves. We own our lives. Now we may think there's nobody like us. We are too big to serve. I'm too busy to serve in the kingdom. As long as I come to church and receive the prayers and the blessing and receive the word and I go. But that was in your life before. First Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? Why do you act as if the life you own is yours? It's a borrowed life. It's a borrowed life. A life that is not used for the glory of God is not a life. You have valued what you are doing more than what needs to be done in the kingdom. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to do things. I'm too busy." There's a time coming when you won't be busy at all. May God help that we are not caught up and caught up with the anger of God. Remember the time you were trusting God to be where you are now. Now you are where you want to be. You are on your way to where you want to be. Now you are here. And you are dreaming bigger dreams because God brought you here. And it's God you are expecting to give you the grace to embrace the bigger dream. But you don't think that God deserves your all anymore. Hallelujah. You used to pray. You used to seek the face of God. But now, you can hardly utter a 2-minute prayer. Plus God minus G, devil, you are gone. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. Let me tell you something, people. In the ears of a carnal person, you will have a valid excuse. But no excuse is valid before God. I'll say it again. No excuse is what? Valid before God. Because the day God excuses you, you are done. You are done. All the things you are trusting on, with a wave of the hand, God can just make them disappear. And then you go back to square one, seeking face of God again. If you have made what you have to become your God. Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 12 says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill up, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, when you have eaten and are full, when you have eaten and are full, now I have a job, I have a salary. He said, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you from out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Beware lest you forget. We must be careful how we handle the grace of God on our lives. Anything you have lifted up above God, God can destroy. I asked the workers this morning, why did you think God destroyed 70,000 people? I even asked my wife downstairs. This is the reason. The same people that David numbered and put his mind on, God showed him, I can kill all of them and you will still be alone. And there is nothing you can do. He was the one that brought the problem on the people. He wanted to number them, showcase his strength. There are many nations today who do that. They showcase their army as if one angel from heaven cannot destroy every one of them. God began to kill the people his mind was upon. For a pastor, there's a thin line between trusting God and trusting in the people that come to church. And one day, one early morning, my heart has been so heavy for many days. And a man of God called me about 5:30 a.m. Sunday morning. This was the time when people will come to church and the next thing you know, they have moved to Texas. It doesn't sit well with any pastor. He said, the Lord said, I should tell you. I never told him anything. He said, the Lord said, I should tell you. Don't look at the people. Look at me. I started crying. Since that day, I am of the opinion, if the presence of God is here, we are all well and good. Every time I had thought one thing or the other, God confirms in my heart, I'm the one that sent you. I called you, not people. God began to kill the people. That was the time David really repented and said, Lord, am I not the one that sinned? Why are you punishing these people? Why are you killing them? Because you relied on them. What if God takes away everything you rely upon today? Will your heart come back to God? Will you come back to trusting God? Some of us, what we think is trust is not trust. When you give based on what you have in your account, it's not trust. Well, I know some money is coming in tomorrow, so I can give this. What if that money is not coming? And God is saying, give me that. Look at what the Lord says. In Hebrews 10:31, he says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In rounding up quickly, James chapter 3, verse 5 to 12. Very important scripture. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. What you say. And sets on fire the curse of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. It says, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. You can't do it by yourself. The haughty spirit is not a spirit you can quench by yourself. You need the hand of God. You need the grace of God. He says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. You bless in church, in the parking lot you fight and curse. Or you say mundane things. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. The same David prayed in Psalm 141 and verse 2 to 4. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Because what you say in boasting can anger God. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, because it starts with the heart, thoughts, then words, then actions. To practice wicked works with men who walk iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. The Lord said in Deuteronomy 7 we read, that they have to be utterly destroyed. But you need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. Will you rise on your feet this morning? Will you rise? You know where you belong, where this word is concerned. Will you go before the Lord and ask him for mercy? And ask him for grace? And ask him to help you overcome this Amorite spirit?